Good morning and welcome to Byers & Company. Today, Wayne Kent is sitting in for the vacationing Brian Byers. This hour, we've got Mark Tupper in studio to talk a whole bunch about Illini basketball and the world. At the 8 o'clock hour, Ryan Spurlock, Debbie Bogle, Byers & Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning, friends. Be careful out there. Mark, as he came in the studio, told me he's already come across one accident up on Main Street in Garfield, right?
North Water in
North
Garfield.
North Water, okay.
Yes.
Be careful.
It's not as bad as I thought. I think the temperature's just high enough to have prevented this from becoming an ice rink. You know, it was still mostly wet, and there is some of that little crunchy stuff, but not horrible. Be careful, though.
Just go slow. Yeah. I took an extra 5 minutes to come on in today rather than fly down the highway, Main Street 51 at 45. I came at 44.
All right, Wayne.
Actually, where I was driving, until you kiss north, the road, when I came in this morning, we live in Forsyth. North, the roads are clear. It's only as you come in almost into Decatur, you know, that it gets worse. Mark.
Yes,
let's
Wayne.
Chat Illini. Because when you and I was guest hosting for Brian earlier in the week.
Yes.
You did your 7:30 thing. Mm-hmm. This would have been Monday, I think.
Yep.
And you said, well, the Illini are off to Purdue. It's going to be a tough run.
Yes.
And they might win. But it was kind of, I think there was a question mark in your mind. And yet now,
no doubt.
What happened? This is great news.
Well, they not only won, they won by 17.
17 points.
That never happens at Purdue. We're seeing some things that normally don't happen. I did not believe they could win at Wisconsin, and they did. I believed they could win at Purdue. I did not believe they could win decisively. I thought this will be a nail biter, you know. And it turned out that they just clobbered Purdue down the stretch, sort of beat them into submission. And you never see that when Purdue's playing at home. Purdue very recently, the story in the Big Ten Conference this season is that home teams win almost all the time.
Right.
Road teams win very infrequently, and teams play very differently at home than they do on the road. And case in point is Purdue. They lost by 26 points in Champaign. They went home 7 days later. Michigan State's the number one team in the
right.
Big Ten. They beat them by 29 in West Lafayette. And then
amazing.
So I just thought they're going to play Illinois tough, and they didn't.
So a week ago, Illinois is at number 21. More recently, within the last few days, we moved to number 15. We were at 24, then we moved to
21.
21.
Yes.
Pardon me. What happens now?
Now Illinois plays at Michigan in Ann Arbor on Saturday morning, 11 a.m. And if they were to win that game, that would be two road games that the nation's voters would notice. And then the new poll comes out on Monday. And they would move up possibly to 15 in that range, it would mm-hmm. seem to me. Those are very impressive wins. Illinois would have three Big Ten road wins, and then you just keep going. The interesting thing is they've got a really tough stretch of schedule coming up. This is kind of a tough stretch. They've got another one coming up. Even their home games are going to be difficult in this upcoming stretch. But, you know, as you look at the schedule now, and you begin to get a feel for this team. You look at these games that are difficult, and you say, okay, that's a difficult game. Whereas we previously would have said, well, that's a game they can't win.
Right.
You don't say that any longer.
It's a possibility.
Here's the simple way to say it. In my opinion, this is the most rewarding stretch of Illinois basketball watching since the 2004-2005 season when they went to the Final Four. I'm not projecting that they go to the Final Four or that they play in the national championship game as that team did. I'm just saying. And the other thing is, said very simply, this team is really fun to watch.
Hey, Mark, do you think that this is there any similarities between the Cubs during their rebuild where they almost arrived a year early and then the next year, you know, broke through? Does with the two-star recruits coming in next year, Are we a year early, or is this tracking about how it should be? Does that make sense?
It does. I think it's tracking more like it should be. Remember, they have a recruit that came in this year who is, we are learning, is we're not going to see somebody like him for a while. Kofi Coburn is different than anyone we've had playing in an Illinois uniform in a long time. And I can promise you that kids 1 year out of high school are not 7 foot, 290, chiseled, composed.
Oh, I was.
You were the exception, and which is why you were a pastoral first-round draft pick. But this kid is amazing. And if you watched the game against Purdue the other evening, you saw him really put on a show. He had 22 points, 15 rebounds, 3 block shots. The thing that kills me about him every time I watch him is freshman big men almost always make stupid fouls. And this kid almost never makes a stupid foul. And therefore, he's available to play on the floor as long as he's not
for the whole
exhausted.
Game.
Yeah.
Aside from his body type, which is man ready, NBA ready, does he have a meaningful? I mean, if he'll probably come back at least one more year, it would seem. Did you see him having a meaningful NBA career, possibly a star career, if he projects or continues, or do you think he'll just be a tall guy in the NBA?
It's interesting because I've talked about this a lot lately with this team. We have to remember when we look at individual players or individual teams that particularly at the college level, we're not always watching a finished product. Mm-hmm. And when you have a really good freshman like Kofi is, I don't think I'm seeing a finished product. I'm seeing a guy who has, as you suggest, an NBA-ready body right now, mm-hmm. and maybe an NBA-ready game right now, but he's improving. He's improved since the start of this season to now. There's no reason to believe he won't be even better when we get to March, or even better, were he to stay at the end of next season. So to project what kind of an NBA player he will be, I would like to see what kind of a college player he will eventually be before he leaves. Dan Dockich from ESPN said the other night on the broadcast that he thinks Kofi will be gone after this season, that he will play his way and is playing his way onto the NBA radar, and that he will go to the NBA pre-draft camps this summer, where you can go without risking your college eligibility, and you can be evaluated by NBA people. You can receive their feedback, right. And they will tell you, we project you as a mid-first-round pick, as a late-first-round pick, as an early second-round pick. And if their projections don't excite you enough, then you say, you know what, I'm going to come back and play a second year at Illinois, and next year I'll be a surefire first-round.
I think about the kids are 19 and 20 years of age.
It's unbelievable.
And have to make these life-altering decisions.
It's unbelievable. That's why with a player like Ayo Dosunmu, who is on the NBA radar, scouts come and watch him, fans debate, you know, where would he actually be in the draft and all that stuff. The thing I like about him so much, and this has nothing to do with his game, his mother and father are so actively involved in his life. And that isn't always the case with college athletes. And he will not have to make this decision based on what some huckster agent or somebody right. else does. Mom and dad will huddle with him and give him the best possible advice they can. And that advice might be, your time is to go now, or their advice might be...
Because you're always worried about an injury, a career-ending injury.
Absolutely. I mean, you have
At the level you're playing at, by the time you get to a Division I school, you're playing all out, and you could have a career-ending injury. You're playing pretty good players.
You know, and my mom would have always said, yeah, but you're not going to get your college degree. And yeah, Mom, I get it. But I'm also, with my college degree, not going to earn $20 million probably right. in my lifetime right. with right. my degree in parks and recreation or whatever.
So I have two questions. First of all, maybe you can answer this one simply. When we, because I look in from the outside, I don't have your eyes by any sense. I'm a fan. I'm going to a game. I'm going to the Thursday game next week.
Oh, awesome.
Cool. So, but I don't understand the mechanics of the game and all the mechanics of the business. Tell me, how do these votes nationwide take place? Are you a voter?
Well, I was when I was actively working.
So these are coaches. These are writers. These are.
Didn't I tell you this story? This is why I wasn't in church for so long. At least this is my excuse. I was for years an Associated
That's
Press
basketball fault.
Football and basketball voter. And our poll. Okay, in football, the voting had to be done on Sunday mornings, and I would. It took me. I took it pretty seriously. I would spend 3 or 4 hours going through, because I didn't get to see games on Saturday. I was covering a game.
Right.
When you're covering a game and then writing the game, you don't get to see all the other games. I've learned now in retirement, this is a much better deal. I can watch any game I want and I can do whatever. So anyhow, Sunday mornings I would spend 3 or 4 hours putting together my top 25 poll. I'd call it into Associated Press in New York City.
How many people are on that?
I think at the time I was voting on the AP National Football Poll, it was maybe 78, 81, something like in that range.
Under 100.
It was under 100.
That's pretty cool on your part.
Now, I was a Heisman Trophy voter also, and I gave my Heisman vote this year to Joey Wagner from the Herald and View. I worked with the Heisman people to do that. Now, there was 900 Heisman voters. There's more of those.
That's fascinating to me that, you know, you go – You have an influence on how the nation views a particular team. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, and you want to be responsible with it. In other words, someone might say, some Illini fan might come up to me at church, David Sands, and say, "Hey, you're a voter. Get Illinois in the poll." You know, and I can get him a vote. I could do that. But my obligation was to present a poll that I thought was the most accurate 1 through 25. And once in a while, if Illinois was good enough, maybe they would be in that.
So how long were you on that team that made that decision?
I did that for 20-some years.
How was it in the early years when it was done by phone, which I assume in the later years would have been done by computer?
Correct. It was the problem was if you were on the road. So, for instance, if I was at Ohio State for a Saturday 2:30 game, Sunday morning I would get up and have to do this, or maybe for a non-conference game where I had flown somewhere.
Right.
Now I've got to get up maybe at 4 in the morning and try to do all this so I can get it done, phoned in,
and
catch
my flight.
And
they paid you the big bucks, right?
They paid you zero to do the voting on the poll.
When the stakes at the end of the year, when the stakes are higher and it matters for seeding and bowl games and tournaments, is there any interaction between some of the voters or any lobbying or anything like that might help shape playoffs and tournaments and things
like
that?
I never found there to be lobbying. There would be, for instance, I might call Bob Baptist from the Columbus paper and say, "Hey, Bobby, you saw in the non-conference, you saw Southern Cal. Ohio State played Southern Cal in a non-conference game on Labor Day, let's say." And I said, "What do you think of them? Because I'm having a hard time getting a handle on them." So I wanted to talk to somebody who had seen them face-to-face. And so there might be some of that, you know, which I think that's good. That makes sense. That's wise. But he would never say, "Hey, by the way, you know, get Ohio State up." In fact, usually he would say, you know, he might go the other direction. He might say, "Just be a little bit wary of where you're putting Ohio State, because they got three starters hurt last night in their game."
And you may not know that.
You may not know that otherwise. Yeah. So it's all the idea of it would be an exchange of valuable information.
Was there ever a convention when all the writers and voters got together?
There was at the Big Ten Media Day. There would be however many voters from Big Ten conference teams. So there might be a dozen voters there of the 80 or 90.
Never met everybody.
There was not really one thing, you know. Because then there wasn't the national championship game, and even if there was a national championship game, a number of the writers were not going to be there. So there was no one event where everyone would be there.
It seems odd to me. You would think that the AP would say, "Let's get everybody together."
It costs money, Wayne. They're not going to spend any money.
I'll tell you what, Wayne. It sounds like Mark and a few writers took this voting serious, whereas throughout the years, we've seen people that look at players like Babe Ruth or Derek Jeter and don't view them as Hall of Fame baseball players.
Well, whole issue is interesting because Tim Kaine does not like Derek Jeter.
Sure.
He was all unanimous
he's resentful
in,
of the fact that
vote.
Derek Jeter was allowed to continue to play shortstop after they acquired
A-Rod.
A-Rod, who was technically a better shortstop. And I have tried to explain to Tim, and Tim understands this, it just rubs him the wrong way, that the shortstop position for the New York Yankees in the mind of that team was more than just skill. It was how you comport yourself. They wanted that person to be the face of the franchise, and they let him do that. Would Tim Cain doesn't have a Hall of Fame vote. Would he have voted for Derek Jeter as a first ballot guy, or would he have been the one guy who didn't? In my opinion, Tim would have voted for him.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah, sure.
All right, we've got
to
take a break. I'm fascinated by this conversation, but because when I have a conversation with Mark, it's often helpful to see behind the scenes, which is the fly on the wall stuff. Because you know things I don't know, and that always bothers me if somebody knows things that I don't know. I want to know about it.
Now you know what it's like to sit in church.
I want to know, when we get back from the weather news, weather and break here, give us a sense of why have the fortunes of the Illini seem to have changed? We see the change. We see the results of the change this year. What was the catalyst?
Okay.
We'll be right back. Time for some weather, ladies and gentlemen. News Talk 1340 WSOY.
Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today we've got some snow and some rain with a high of 36. Very little accumulation expected. And tonight we'll have some rain and snow again. We might get about an inch overnight with a low around 32. For Friday, we've got more rain and snow. It'll be cloudy with a high of 36. And then Saturday, no rain or snow. It'll be cloudy with a high near 34. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 32 degrees. And your WSOI time is 7:23. Quick reminder, all Pana schools are out today.
Okay, guys, New Year's resolutions are hard, but getting the speed you need and the entertainment you want with Xfinity, that's easy. Because now you can get Xfinity Internet for only $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement, which means you can get the best in-home Wi-Fi experience to stream all of your favorites in any room. Plus, ask how to add a voice-controlled Flex 4K streaming device included with your internet for no additional cost. It's a personalized streaming dashboard that puts all your favorites in one place, letting you search less and watch more. So while it may be hard to wake up the kids after a long winter break, commit to a trendy New Year's diet, or stick to all your other resolutions, Xfinity makes 2020 simple, easy, awesome. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit your local Xfinity store today. Offer ends 2/10/20, requires EcoBill and AutoPay, restrictions apply, new performance starter customers only, after contract term regular rates apply, actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
We're looking into the new year with 2020 vision as the Community Foundation of Macon County celebrates our 20th anniversary throughout this year. This is Foundation President Natalie Beck, and I invite you to join us as we honor the transformational impact and generosity of donors who have created lasting change by advancing innovation. Our roots were firmly planted by the generations of donors before us. Our grant making reflects a focus on the environment, agriculture, and sustainable practices, on education that is inclusive, collaborative, and resourceful, on workforce and economic development that accelerates regional innovation and promotes social change. We are your homegrown community foundation, and we invite you to join us. If you're unsure what causes or organizations you'd like to help, we can work with you to determine where your giving will make the biggest impact. For more information, call us today at 429-3000 or visit MaconCountyGives.org.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's 26 minutes after the hour. My name is Wayne Kent. Usually I'm on the air on Wednesday nights, direct line, 5 to 7 p.m., but I've been, what do you call this, gigging.
Yeah.
Guest subbing. And joining me in the studio today is Mark Tupper. Mark, you and Tim were the catalyst for Direct Line. I don't know if you know that.
I know it because you told some reporter and they wrote that.
Yeah.
I read that and I was like, wow.
I have a question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
In less than 2 minutes before the next break, what has changed that causes the Illini basketball team to go from, well, we're Illini Nation. Whoa, we are Illini Nation. Why did it change this year? Obviously, something happened 3-4 years ago. It takes a long time to. Well, in your estimation, what's the catalyst that causes this year to be wow?
Brad Underwood was hired as a coach. Brad Underwood assembled a good coaching staff that can really recruit. Brad Underwood and his staff upped the talent level with the arrival of people like Io DeSumo. And
how do they convince those kids to come to a school where they're going?
It's always hard because when you don't have the track record, this is really the uphill fight that Lovie Smith faces, because you're recruiting kids that also are considering schools that are routinely in bowl games, and you have not been. So you have to sell a leap of faith, and you have to be a pretty good salesman to do that. But Brad had such a great track record at Stephen F. Austin, where his record was through the roof, and then for one season at Oklahoma State, and a lot of people viewed him nationally as a really, really good coach. So that was number one. They upped the talent level. They've continued to do that. Number two, he brought a style of ball in here that they were frankly struggling to get to work for them. They used to defend a certain way, and they have been willing to change. And so they're defending a little bit differently. They're fouling less. They're giving up fewer shots at the rim. They're running their offense a little bit differently. And through his time here, this is third season, he's developed a culture of toughness. They're tougher than they used to be. They dig in. There's a different chemistry with this group. And then it cements when you have the arrival of this man-child standing under the basket. And that really changes a lot.
Is it all leadership?
It's leadership by coaches and players. There's clearly been a buy-in by these players. You watch them on the floor the other night, and we can talk about this in the second half hour, but they had an incident where a player stepped on an opponent deliberately. The enemy crowd got fired up, could have changed the game, and that you watch the Illinois team. They pulled together, and they refused to let that overwhelm them, and in fact, they went on a big run, and that was that.
So, I think we like sports as a whole, as a culture, because it's often a metaphor. It's not only excitement, it's a metaphor for how other things work in life. And just to say, okay, we brought in a new coach. He changed the culture over 3 or 4 years, and look at where we are today. That's an interesting discussion for me to say, how do leaders change culture? And you can see it in the results of young 18, 20, 22-year-olds. And what's it like for the rest of us? We should explore that a little bit, too.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll do this, though. But we'll have to take a break and see what's going on with the weather and the news and the way in which you're driving to work carefully today, friends, because it is a little crunchy out there. Not icy, but be careful. We'll be right back, friends.
This is Shiler with your stories now. Decatur Memorial Hospital has selected telecommunications specialist Steve West as the 2019 Colleague of the Year. Steve has been a member of the DMH staff since 1978 and was most recently named DMH's Colleague of the Month for August 2019. Last year's winner was patient transportation valet Brenda Knight. The Bleefnik Family Feud episode aired for the first time last night, and family and friends packed the wagon to celebrate and watch. The family filmed the season back in April, and for the past 7 months have been anxiously waiting to finally share their experience with the community. Check out the full video from the watch party at nowdecatur.com. Gearing up for this weekend's wedding extravaganza? We are. Come join us out at the Mount Zion Convention Center this Saturday from 11 to 3 p.m. With over 40 vendors to visit and the annual bridal fashion show, you won't want to miss out on all the wedding planning fun. For a full list of vendors and for more information about the wedding extravaganza, go to nowdecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump tweets about his impeachment trial. Democrats are refusing to state that the Obama administration withheld aid from many countries. California Congressman Adam Schiff says, of course, presidents may withhold foreign aid like President Trump did with Ukraine.
But he does not, under our laws and under our Constitution, have a right to use the powers of his office to corruptly solicit foreign aid, prohibited foreign aid, in his reelection.
Democrats' arguments resume at 1 p.m. Eastern. Three cities in China are being locked down to prevent the spread of a new flu-like virus. Gordon Galea with the World Health Organization says about travel restrictions in Wuhan.
Trying to contain a city of 11 million people is new to science.
Lunar New Year Saturday is the busiest travel time in the world. America's listening to Fox News.
It's the 2020 Newhoff Media Wedding Extravaganza presented by Staley Credit Union on Saturday, January 25th at the Mount Zion Convention Center. The Wedding Extravaganza offers selections for catering, DJ services, venue rental, hair, and more. Register to win great deals offered by vendors all at the 2020 Newhoff Media Wedding Extravaganza Saturday, January 25th at the Mount Zion Convention Center off of Highway 121. Some vendors included are State Farm, Mike Mandrell, and Allie Doolin, Creation by Designs, Pastiche, and more.
Saturday, February 22nd, join Catholic Charities in celebrating 76 years at their annual fundraiser at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Decatur. Celebrate Mardi Gras style at the Catholic Charities Mardi Gras fundraiser. Enjoy live music from 90s Daughter, a cash bar, and dinner provided by Max Pigskin Diner. Proceeds from the Catholic Charities Mardi Gras will benefit Catholic Charities and the programs they offer right here in Central Illinois. Get tickets to the Catholic Charities Mardi Gras on February 22nd by calling 428-3458.
Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today, we've got snow and rain, a little bit of both, high of about 36. For tonight, same thing, rain and snow with a low around 32. For Friday, rain and snow is likely mainly before noon. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy with a high of 36 with very little snow accumulation expected. Saturday is going to be cloudy with a high near 34. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 32 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:33.
Welcome back, friends. 33 minutes after the hour. Joining me in the studio for the next half hour, Mark Tupper.
Wayne, can I sneak a question into Mark to follow up on what he was just talking about real
quick? Sure, we'll let you. Go ahead.
Okay. Mark, can you hear me all right?
We're fine.
Okay, good. I'm curious to know, Brad Underwood, if you had a crystal ball. He's one of these coaches that, well, as you know, in the Big Ten, a lot of times guys like Lou Henson and Steve Fisher and all these guys last a long, long, Bobby Knight, long time at their schools. Is Brad Underwood slowly progressing his way up to the Dukes, the Carolinas and all that? Or do you think we might have a 10, 12-year coach in Brad Underwood?
He's quiet. What do you think, Mark?
I didn't have my headphones on.
Ah, see? Okay. All right, here, I'll re-summarize real quick.
I couldn't tell what was going on. There was some type of technological chaos.
It's okay. Hey, no worries.
I didn't even realize.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, so what I was saying is...
You did phrase the question very lovely, though.
Thank you. I'm gonna just give you the crux of it. Brad Underwood, do you see his career as 3 to 6 years in the Illini on his way to the Dukes, the Kansas, or do you think that he's 12, 15 years in Champaign, bust outside the stadium, or, you know, long time kind of guy?
It's a good question. And to be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that question. I've talked to Brad about a lot of things, and I've not talked to him about another question. There is, does he have NBA aspirations? You know, when Lon Kruger was the coach at Illinois, I had not talked to Lon about that subject either. And one day, all of a sudden, it was announced Lon is leaving Illinois and is becoming the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. And I was like, wow, it was kind of out of left field for me, because Lon seemed to me to be a perfect college coach. He liked the young guys. Now, I know from working with him, he did not like recruiting. And recruiting around here, particularly with Illinois and DePaul up in Chicago, had gotten dirty, nasty, grimy. And I know he didn't like that, but it just surprised me, and he wanted to do it. And I can understand any coach that wants to try that. He did it for a couple years. It didn't work out. He came back to college, and he's been continued as a very successful college coach. I don't know how Brad sees himself. I know he really likes it in Champaign. Remember, he coached as an assistant for a number of years up at Western Illinois. He watched Illinois. He came to the then Assembly Hall and watched games and watched the state tournament and developed a kind of a feel for it, and claimed when Illinois went and got him from Oklahoma State that this was a sort of a dream destination for him. But it's a dream destination until somebody comes along and says, hey,
$6 million
we'd like you to replace Mike Krzyzewski, or we'd like you to replace John Calipari. I'm using those as probably extreme examples, but there may be something else out there that would really catch his fancy. And so I don't know. That's a good question. Does he feel like his success? He has not had turnover on his assistant coaching staff. Orlando Antigua, one of his assistants, is a tremendous recruiter. Does he feel like he can continue to operate at this level if Orlando leaves tomorrow? Has he got another guy in mind that he can plug in? Because I think recruiting should become a little easier for them now because they're no longer going to have to sell just blind faith. They can sell, hey, we've been in the rankings. Hey, we beat these teams on the road. Hey, hopefully in March we find out that they're in the NCAA tournament. We play an exciting brand of basketball. We just remodeled our building, blah, 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 blah.
So when do kids have to, if you will, say this is the school I'm going to?
There are different periods when they sign national letters of intent. We just went through one not that long ago. There'll be another one in the spring. They can commit verbally. They have a kid named Adam Miller from Chicago who has committed verbally but did not sign the national letter of intent.
What happens if a kid signs a national letter of intent in early in the year and then in July says, I want to go over here?
Yeah, then it becomes a little messy. The school could voluntarily release you from that. They could decide not to. The real debate becomes what happens. The kid commits to a school, but he's really also committing to a head coach.
Right.
He likes Brad Underwood, let's say. Okay, so now we get a little bit closer. The kid commits, he signs, and now Brad Underwood says, I'm going somewhere else. Well, now this kid has entered into an agreement, and the agreement's changed. And I think those kids should have an opportunity to be let out of those letters. Just as coaches are allowed to move, I think kids should be allowed to move, too, if there's that type of a change.
That's one of the things that amazes me about college sports, particularly when you get to the level of, you know, the Big Ten or the Division I.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all this pressure on kids. Like, I have a friend who's playing football at Millikan, and he decided to take a year off out of playing football. If he wanted to do some other things in the school, great player, wonderful kid, and this year he's playing again. You don't get to do that if you're going to do it this level. And you go...
Well, for one thing, though, he's not on an athletic scholarship.
Right,
at Millikan. Millikan is Division III. They do not offer athletic scholarships. They offer need-based financial aid.
I understand.
It's a different deal there. But I think that most schools, and I'm not saying all coaches, but most schools, Josh Whitman, the athletic director, if an Illinois football player came to Josh, a good football player, and said, you know what, I want to take a year off. I want to go explore this or do that, whatever it is. Can I return? I think Josh Whitman's answer every time would be, you absolutely can.
Yeah, that's what I just, like, we need to take a break, but I'm just interested in how much pressure we put on these 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and particularly in the basketball world where they've got to make decisions. They've got to keep playing basketball. They've got to try out for the NBA. And you know, families, in a lot of the situations, families' fortunes for the next 30 years are based on this 18-year-old kid making this decision. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Heavy stuff. Let's take a break. This is the Marquee Coffee Break. That's very cool. Well, the coffee might not be cool, not be cold. I hope it's hot if you're going to drink it. Marquee Coffee has been fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for more than 30 years. It's the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere, and the magic is in their beans. The Marquee Coffee Break coming to you right now.
Insulated garage doors offer energy savings and style. Is your garage door showing its age? Are you worried it won't open? Visit MidStateOHD.com and learn how adding a new garage door can save you money by helping to lower your home energy consumption and cost. Whether you want to replace a garage door, build a new home, or just need a few repairs, MidState Overhead Doors is there for you, offering a wide selection of makes and models.
Doing more people come home to MidState Overhead Doors.
Dear Snowplow, you're always pushing it, which I totally respect. Because with RAV4, LEs, all-wheel drive, and multi-terrain select, I go almost anywhere I want, in almost any conditions. And with over 200 horses under the hood, I dare almost any storm to try and stop me. In a Highlander, I've got all the room I need to roam with spacious seating for up to 8, an available 3.5-liter V6 that's revved up and ready for whatever's next, and a bold front grille that says, I'm all business. See? Not everybody's got what it takes to lead. so you can feel free to follow me or get out of my way. Your move, Toyota SUVs.
Right now, you can get $2,500 cash back on a new 2019 Toyota Highlander. Toyota, let's go places.
Cash back from Toyota Motor Sales USA Inc. Down payment may be required. Must be applied to the transaction. No cash payment will be made to consumer. Does not include taxes, license, title, registration fees, and dealer fees. Does not include college, grad, or military rebate. Varies by region. See dealer for details. All friends, 2320.
At Brinkotter Realtors, we are committed to advanced technology, innovative communication, and seeing our clients get exactly what they want. Our team of industry leaders has carefully crafted a brand new website designed to be a meaningful resource for all your Central Illinois real estate needs.
Find your way home. Brinkotter.com.
Kids, career, priorities. People counting on you. Millikan University understands. That's why we created flexible learning, education designed to help you earn your college degree and move your career forward without sacrificing what's most important to you. Flex classes take place online, evenings, and weekends, and are designed to accommodate your professional and personal goals. Your success is Millikan's priority. Isn't it time to make it your own? Be the priority. Make the move. Millikan.
Welcome back, friends. It's good to have you here. We got some technical difficulties, but being the professionals that we are, we will overcome those technical difficulties at all times. I'm very glad you're with us. This is News Talk 1340 WSOY. My name is Wayne Kent. I'm sitting in for the vacationing Brian Byers, who returns sometime in the next couple days. Kevin Brahaney will be guest hosting in this chair tomorrow, and then Brian and his whole crew will be back come Monday. And the whole world will be copacetic and back to normal again, I'm certain. But for today, we're pinch hitting and we're punting a little bit. Is that right? How you doing in there,
bro? We're doing okay. It's a minor punt. It's
a minor punt.
Yeah, just a little freezing on the music, but that's okay. We're gonna go old school. So.
Well, I got some with me we can use. I got right here if you want. But in the meanwhile, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Kansas versus Kansas.
Kansas versus Kansas State.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, yeah. University of Kansas versus Kansas State. Game earlier in the week ended in a... I watched the video. Oof.
Yeah. Ugly.
Ugly. They ended up in a brawl at the end of the game, including one fellow with a chair over his head, you know, wanting to bang in somebody else's head. What do you know about that story?
Well, first of all, not lost on me that it is... Bill Self's team against Bruce Weber's team, two former Illini head coaches.
How crazy is that?
That's pretty crazy, but there's three of them in the Big 12 Conference because Lon Kruger's coaching at Oklahoma, too, so they do bump into each other fairly often. But at the end of this game, it was lopsided. Kansas was running away with it, 20-point or 21 points or something like that. And it was a play at the end where the one guy goes down and the other player from Kansas postures over the top of him, you know, and which is... too provocative. It's unnecessary.
Particularly at the end of the game.
Right. Yeah. It's stupid. And now a skirmish develops, which turns into a brawl, and bench is empty, and it spills into the crowd behind the basket. And this big player, Silvio D'Souza, picks up what appeared to me to be a metal chair.
It looks like a stool that folds up.
And raises it over his head. This is a big dude, and out of nowhere comes a friend of mine and a guy who's been in Decatur a number of times, a former Illinois assistant coach and player, Jarence Howard from Peoria, who is an assistant on Bill's staff at Kansas, and he luckily gets to D'Souza and grabs the chair before D'Souza can make it a horrible mistake and swing that chair as a weapon and hit someone, because there's no question he's big enough to really inflict some pain and maybe worse. And anyhow, the police get involved. There's all kinds of people. Bill Self comes flying into the mix, and he's trying to grab players and pull them out of there. And finally, the thing gets cooled off. Bill announced initially that D'Souza would be suspended indefinitely. Since then, the suspensions have been more defined. He will be suspended 12 games, another player 8 games, another player 3 games, another player 2 games.
That's on Kansas on the University
of
Kansas.
That's both teams.
Both teams. So So that's is the league or the league
the,
is
the conference got involved in.
Conference is involved. So this isn't just a university decision.
No. And so they reviewed all the tapes of all this stuff, and it's just it was a dangerous situation. We all remember that NBA brawl was involved. The Pacers, was it the Pacers and the Pistons?
Yeah, Malice in the Palace.
Malice in the Palace up in Detroit area, and that was crazy. That was nuts. And you realize that the players cannot get into it with fans. There's no way that ends well. And so,
what about a player on the Illini team this week? Kind of went over the edge as well.
It absolutely went over the edge. Illinois playing at Purdue, a play where Sasha Stefanovic from Purdue ended up on the ground on his back, and Alan Griffin from Illinois standing over the top of him. And appeared to purposely step on his midsection. And I mean, no doubt in my mind that it was purposeful. He said his initial excuse was, well, I was losing my balance and nonsense. The referees reviewed it. He was ejected. He should have been ejected. I think some additional punishment is merited there. I would be surprised if he plays Saturday against Michigan. It was a terrible, terrible incident. And he has subsequently, he met the player after the game and apologized to him face-to-face.
Well, that's good news.
And it was nice of the Purdue player to agree to meet with him, because he could have been mad enough where he said, I'm not interested in your apology.
So I have this question for you, Mark.
Yes.
So the photo that I have in front of me here has D'Souza, is that his name?
Uh-huh.
He's got this chair, or it looks like a stool, raised above his head. Your friend is stepping in front of him.
Yes.
To stop this action from taking place.
Right.
So I have this sense. Okay, so that is a split-second photograph of a bad moment. And I would hope that there is no one take. And look at the woman underneath him, just terrified for her life.
Absolutely.
So I would put there. No, I've never done anything like this, but I'd hope that my life would not be characterized by a split-second photograph taken at one of my bad moments. However, what I'm wondering about is, what's the movie behind this? What's the rest of the story behind the fact that a young teenage kid or early 20s, I don't know how old he is, but he's, you know, early life. What's the rest of the story that in the midst of a struggle, his automatic response is to pick up a chair and use it as a weapon?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to crawl inside his head and know anything about him or what was going on. Or, you know, Nick mentioned the Malice in the Palace. That event was a searing snapshot in the minds of a lot of people. And I don't know, he was too young. He would have been too young to see that firsthand. He may have seen it subsequently. And you know, I don't know whether a guy gets into a situation and he's like, okay, I'm the gladiator in this moment and they're all coming after me. I don't know. I don't know.
There's something within me, and I hope I'm being careful in how
I just
say
know
this.
In the case of Alan Griffin, the Illinois player, look, we all need to understand that in a proper world, we're going to make the right decisions and we're going to behave well. But if you think that I could get away with this, okay, if that enters your mind, there is no place in a sports arena where your actions will not be recorded and reviewed and reviewed, right, and reviewed. And, you know, Illinois won a really big basketball game the other day. But if you go to the ESPN website right now and click in the men's college basketball section, there's one story about Illinois up there, and it is Illini Griffin ejected for stepping on player.
Right.
And that's the unfortunate story that's going to last multiple news cycles from that game. And it should be Illinois played a really great game over at Purdue.
Yeah, split-second decisions.
And this kid is not your normal kid. His father played for years for the Chicago Bulls. And his father is an assistant coach for the reigning NBA champion Toronto Raptors. So he is from a basketball mad family that has been around all this, understands all this. I am sure that in the last 24 hours, Brad Underwood and Adrian Griffin, his father, have had a lot of conversations with him.
Yeah.
And I would be hugely disappointed and very surprised if we ever see another incident like this, because what they've told him is you'll be remembered for this kind of thing longer than you'll be remembered for any basket you make or any shot you take.
That's the hard part. Or It goes back to the conversation we had earlier at the beginning of the show. Bezos, Jeff Bezos, doing his own thing and not realizing people are watching.
Yeah, and I mean, he ought to be a little more worldly than Alan Griffin, since he owns the world.
There you go. Well, let's take a break. Let's find out what's going on with the weather. And play it safe, friends. Play it safe.
Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today, we've got some snow up until around 11. Then later on, we'll have some rain and snow, a high of 36. Tonight, we've got some rain and snow, and it'll be a low of around 31. You might see an inch of snow overnight. For Friday, more rain, more snow, it's likely. Otherwise, cloudy with a high of 36. But Saturday, none of that in the forecast. It'll be cloudy with a high of 34. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 32 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:52. Quick reminder, all PANA schools have been called off today. Plan accordingly.
My old washer and dryer were on their last legs, and I really wanted a front loader set. So I went shopping. I thought that the big box lumber yard would have the best deals, so I started there. They had an Electrolux set I really liked, and I thought it was a fair price, but I wanted to compare it with one other store. Dick Van Dyke advertises the best deal, so I tried there. Boy, am I glad I did. They had the same washer and dryer, but their deal came with a buy one, get one free pedestal and a free 10-year protection plan. The other store would sell me a warranty, but for only 5 years. It was a no-brainer. I bought my beautiful new washer and dryer at Dick Van Dyke, saved $370, and got 10 years of protection. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reakin, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This could be your true story in Decatur during January. I guarantee the best deal on your next appliance purchase. Wow!
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Decatur's favorite place to buy a car is also your place for a great deal. You know who I'm talking about. It's Bob Brady.
The Bob Brady Auto Mall and Bob Brady Cadillac Buick GMC.
Two great dealerships right there on I-72. The Bob Brady Auto Mall at exit 144 and Bob Brady Cadillac Buick GMC at exit 141 in Forsyth. Whether you're looking for a car, truck, van, SUV, or work vehicle, Brady's got you covered.
At the Auto Mall.
The Bob Brady Auto Mall at exit 144 is home to Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram trucks, Honda, Hyundai, Mitsubishi, and the incredible lineup of Ram commercial work vehicles.
In Forsyth.
Don't miss Bob Brady in Forsyth for Cadillac, Buick, and GMC. Just off I-72 at exit 141, home of the Charlie deal. Hard to finance? No problem. Brady will work to find you the right creditor when others might not even look. For more than 30 years, Decatur's first choice for new and pre-owned is Bob Brady, I-72 at exit 141 and 144. At Bob Brady, we're deal.
You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Mark, we got 4 minutes.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
So the Illini, it took a while when I moved to Decatur in 1994. It took a while for me to understand our community's love affair with the University of Illinois.
Okay.
But it very quick, I suppose within a year or two, I figured it out. Well, we're in the Midwest. We're flat. We're flatland. You in the winter, you got to have something to look for, look to watch, and so the university and the sports. It's a different feel here than it is out west. I'll just say that is a good way to put it. It took a while for me to kind of grab a hold of that culture. And I certainly didn't, when people in the community would be, you know, ragging on the team and go, they're kids, give them a break. But now when they're doing well, man, the whole attitude is different. Why is it that throughout the community, what happens 45 minutes down the road with a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds, whether it be football season, basketball season, or whatever the university is doing, why is it that we are so connected to that?
Well, I think there are different levels of sports fans. There's hardcore sports fans, there's moderate sports fans, there's casual sports fans, and there are people who you would probably say, I don't really follow it at all. But I think within a community, there's an excitement that can build behind any team that has some regional significance. It could be high school, it could be college, it could be professional. Here in Decatur, the single biggest community-wide buzz I have ever experienced about a sporting team or event was in 1985 when the Chicago Bears had that great team and that really captured the nation. But around here, they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Around here, you could not walk down Merchant Street and see a woman who did not have on Chicago Bears earrings or a necklace or a shirt. It got that crazy. It was everybody.
Right.
And parties and that back then there were jukeboxes in places and everybody was playing the Super Bowl shuffle.
Oh, heavens.
And it was just out of control. I've never seen anything like it since or whatever. Illinois in 2004-05, when they had that basketball team that was ranked number one in the country for most of the year, that didn't lose a game until the final regular season game and made it all the way to the national championship. Everybody was talking about the Illini. Within your church, if you've noticed, more and more people are starting to wear their Illini gear
they
to church.
Are, yes.
Yes.
Fascinating.
And so it becomes a little infectious. We've seen
You know when I can tell when it's really happening? Like it happened when the Cubbies won, when the men start wearing their caps to church.
Yes. Yes.
Then I know, okay, we've got a thing going on.
We've got
a
thing going on here.
So when the Illini caps start showing up in church in the next few days or next few weeks, I'll go, okay, it's a train running down the track now.
When the Cardinals get rolling good, you feel it, you see it. When the Cubs in 16 were rolling, you certainly felt it and saw it. The Cubs and Cardinals thing is a little different because half the town is brooding against them.
Right, of course.
And so forth. But if you talk to a high school athletic director or principal, At St. Teresa, for example, when St. Teresa has a really good football team, which is most years, it ignites the whole building.
Absolutely.
It becomes a rallying point for the whole building.
Well, I will look forward to see what happens in the Illini Nation in the days ahead.
Yes.
Next game is?
Saturday, 11 a.m. at Michigan.
It should be an exciting game. All right, Mark, thanks for being with us
Thank
today.
Thank you, Wayne.
It's always a pleasure to chat. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is News Talk 1340 WSOY.